want to be here today as we worship and praise the Lord together. Let's just continue in that atmosphere of praise. Ask God to till up the soil of our heart that we might receive the word this morning. Don't you love Jesus?
Amen.
Thank you guys so very much. I appreciate our leadership of our church and appreciate those that stand behind this pulpit and bring us the word of God. Hey, God's word's real. It's alive and well. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Hewitt's come at this time bringing the word to us. Let's open up our Bibles, open up our hearts, and let's let God speak to us today.
Thank you, Pastor. I want to take just a second and let you know how much I appreciate Chris and Cammy and Kelly and our worship team. My wife and I have been able to be in services with Ken Hagen and John Hagee and T.D. Jakes and James Robinson, Jack Hayford. We've been able to go to all of those places, and they're not a bit better than what we have right here at Trinity, and I'm so thankful for them and what they do every week. I just wish Cammy had let up and let me join. But you have to be able to sing, she said, so that pretty much rules me out. Well, Pastor has had one of those weeks. Have you had one of those before? And it's just kind of left him physically and emotionally drained. And so we are hoping that he is able to just rest and relax and refresh a little bit today. And we're gonna do something here, Pastor, if that's all right. Book of Mark, if you have your Bible, turn in that with me, please. The Book of Mark, chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading with verse number 25. Nothing new that you have not heard before, but you have not heard it from me before. Mark chapter 5, begin reading with verse number 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Now, I'm reading from the New King James. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was none better, but rather grew worse. Well, let me get so you can sit down. Let me finish reading. When she had heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt it in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around to the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging around you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Father, thank you this morning for the precious word. It's anointed, but I need help today. So I just pray in Jesus' name that you would grant to your servant the anointing that he needs to deliver your word. Bless this people's heart. Protect their minds and their hearts from only being able to receive what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read just a couple of verses from the book of Luke, out of the 8th chapter, same story, but he puts just a little bit different spin on it. Luke chapter 8 and verses 43. I know I have that in my Bible here, just a second. Through 48. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and cannot be healed by any... I want you to understand, just quickly here, they did not have the medical capabilities that we have today. And some of the things that they used on this woman, one of those things, Pastor, was that they believed in a lot of... I don't want to say witchcraft, but they did a lot of silly stuff. And one of the things that they did was to dig 3 trenches. And in those trenches, they would burn herbs and other chemical things. And then that woman had to sit on each one of those little trenches for so long a period of time. That's the way they were trying to treat the problem that this lady had. Wasn't doing any good. And she had been going through that mess for 12 years. She came from behind, verse 44, and touched the border. Now, some translations say the hem of his garment, and immediately her flow stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Now, in verse 46, it says, "But Jesus said, somebody touched me." And then you drop down to verse 48 and it says, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole." Now, an awesome... Well, let me tell you first why there's just a little bit of difference. There's not a discrepancy. There's a total agreement with the Gospels, all 4 of them. But Mark was the first one written. And the Gospel of Mark was written about 60 A.D. Matthew and Luke didn't write their Gospel until 85 A.D. or 75 A.D., 15 years later. And so memory and how you perceive things was just a little bit different. They may have remembered something that Mark didn't remember. And they were using Mark as kind of a commentary. Now, John didn't write his gospel until 85 A.D., so 25 years later before John actually wrote what he wrote. So that's why they are perfectly the same, but yet there's a little bit different take on things. Okay, you understand that. In fact, 75% of what Luke says you can find in Mark. 50% of what Matthew said you can find in Mark. So that's why there's just a little bit of difference in the way they saw things and the way they told things. But what a powerful chapter, chapter 5 of Mark is. It talks about Legion. It talks about Jairus' daughter. And then it talks about this woman with the issue of blood. Now, I want to just try to make this as real as I can with you this morning. There's a great crowd of people that have surrounded Jesus on this day. Legion, I think, has published the news all over Decapolis of the wonderful experience he had with Jesus. You remember Legion? He was the crazy guy in the tombs that was cutting himself and running around full of the devil, scaring people half to death. Well, the Bible says in Mark chapter whatever it was, in verse 20, "And he departed," talking about the Legion, "and began to proclaim in Decapolis," that's where he lived, "all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled." So there was a crowd coming around. Even when Jesus passed over on the other side of the sea to escape the crowd, verse 21 says, "Now when Jesus crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him as he was by the sea. Envision that in your mind this morning if you can. You have to understand that this was not a new thing for him. He was used to this. All of the time there was people ganging up around him. One of the reasons that Jesus would rise early and go out to do his morning prayer time was to get there before all the people woke up and begin to crowd around him. So he had gotten used to being bumped and pushed and shoved. I don't do well in crowds. Maybe you can handle that. But I've been a few places a few times, and when it gets to where I can't stretch a little bit and people are pushing against me, I get a little bit panicky. Start looking for a way out. But this was an everyday occurrence for Jesus. Something else, he was always aware that not everybody in that crowd was seeking a spiritual touch. Now listen carefully. Many people heard the rumble and the roar that a crowd makes, and so they were just coming to see what was going on. Some had read the morning Decapolis Herald, and Legion's picture, clothed and in his right mind, was front page news. And so they wanted to come and find out if this is really true or what this story is all about. There were a lot of people in the crowd that were just hungry, and they had heard the stories that Jesus serves a good fish and chips lunch. And they just came to have lunch. For whatever reasons, people were ganging up around Jesus. But I only read of one little frail lady who touched Jesus, or rather the hem of Jesus' garment, and felt the healing virtue flow into her body. So in spite, what does that tell us? In spite of the sightseers and the misfits that have surrounded Jesus on that day, there were people there that needed a touch. And if we could learn anything this morning, I want us to learn this. It doesn't matter how big the crowd is or what's going on in other people's lives. If you need to touch him, he will be there for you to touch. You can touch him if you want to. I'm sure there were people that were there just because they liked the way that he talked to the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus, he was a cool man. He'd have a hard time getting to church today. Because he wouldn't tell you what you wanted to hear. He just would tell you what you needed to hear. And he would tell the scribes and Pharisees, you're a bunch of hypocrites, you're a bunch of vipers. And when he would do that, all the anti-establishment crowd would cheer him on. They loved that stuff. Isn't it amazing? There it is to me. When I hear John Hagee or Rod Parsley really start blasting our government, the crowd seems to go wild over that. I don't care for it myself, but our government needs prayer. They don't need blasting. When I preach about the moms and the dads being faithful to church, setting a good example at home, not fussing and fighting in front of the kids, all the young people just kind of sit up a little straighter in the pew, kind of break out in a smile, like these girls here, you know. And in their eyes, I can see them cheering me on. Oh, let them have it, Millard. And be sure and tell them about mistreating their kids and playing favorites. If I preach that you young people need to start living right and put on decent clothes and cover yourselves up and stay away from immorality and show a little respect to your elders and turn that radio down for crying out loud, moms and dads will come plumb up out of the pew with their amen. Hallelujah. Whoop that kid one time for me. If I go to talking about all of the vices that we Pentecostals believe are wrong, everybody that doesn't have sin will grab a handful of rocks and say, let me throw one. See, we're the same the world over. A crowd excites us. So let me ask you why you're here today. I mean, what in the world are you doing here? I mean, it's good that you're here. I'm glad you're here. Pastor's glad you're here. I'm even impressed that you're here. Because you don't have to be. Pastor does not cast some kind of magic spell and make you come to church. I mean, we're all happy that you're here today. But I'm just wondering why you're here. I mean, is it the habit that you've gotten into? It's a good habit, but I mean, is it because we're having free lunch after church this morning? What do you mean by that? I mean, is it because of one of those other things I said? Or do you need a touch today? Is there some kind of a need in your life and you have tried it all? You've done what the pastor said. You've done what the doctor said. You've done what grandma said. And it's just not getting any better. And somehow you feel like, if I could just touch Jesus, Kelly, everything will be all right. I feel like this morning that somebody will touch him. And I hope it's going to be you. Because he's in this place. We have already felt him in Sunday school and in our worship time. And I believe he's walking up and down. And I believe he's still got that same power inside of him. And he's looking for somebody to touch him so he can release it. Now let's look at the text for a moment. Jesus said, who touched my clothes? I want to say, is me. I'm guilty. I couldn't do this anymore. I can't go any farther. I can't deal with it any longer. I've done all I know to do. I had to touch you. And then when she heard Jesus was there, she came in the press behind. Press, according to Mr. Webster, means to push against or to squeeze or to force. Now, I can't imagine this crowd. I have to imagine because I can't. I've seen crowds like that. We've gone to ball games. And even when I've gone to some of these guys that I mentioned earlier to their church and been in services with them, that's the way people are sometimes getting around them. But nevertheless, she's having a hard time getting to Jesus. And some of you are having a hard time getting to Jesus. You're all right with God as far as your relationship, your salvation goes, but you're having a hard time getting to Him to get your need met. Circumstances have knocked you down. Problems have been holding you back. You've tried and tried and tried, but you're just not able to get through. And I would want to encourage you today, you've got to keep pressing and not quit, because He will allow you to touch Him if you keep pushing. Now watch this. Well, first of all, you have to understand this lady's condition. She has a problem called And if it's hard to pronounce, imagine what it feels like. Obstetric fistula, which is a hole in the birth canal that happens when a woman has a child. Now, it's not a common thing, but it does happen. Today, it's not a big deal. It can be fixed easily. In that day, it could not. They tried everything else, but they could not surgically fix what needed to be done, and it needed to be surgically repaired. So she bled all the time. And according to the book of Leviticus, the life of the body is in the blood. So if a person had a blood disorder, they were considered to be dead. And a Jew cannot touch something dead. And she was considered unclean, the same as a leper. So everywhere, now imagine this, if she had that child and had this problem for 12 years, she can't even hug that baby. She can't touch anybody. In fact, when she's out in public, she has to stay away from people and say, "I'm unclean," the same as a leper. And if she accidentally touched you or you touched her, you had to go to the priest for 12 days of purification and burn your clothes. That's how desperate this woman's situation is. And this has been going on for 12 years. And now she's found Jesus. And sometimes we think we're not getting this picture right. Sometimes we think she's Mama June just busting her way through the crowd. Some of y'all don't know who Mama June is, but some of you do. That's a big girl. Mean girl. This little lady's more like Sister Abbott. I mean, bleeding for 12 years. She's anemic. She has lost gallons of blood over the 12-year period. She's doing this. And she's working her way through the crowd so they can't see her. And she's getting closer. And she's getting closer. And I believe God, in His wonderful grace and mercy, every time she reached out I don't care if it was somebody as big as me standing in front of her. God miraculously moved them out of the way. And she was able just to keep going. And the closer she got, I feel like the strength in her body began to increase. And the Bible says that she just simply reached out and touched the hem of his garment. And immediately, immediately. Now listen to me. How was she able to touch the hem of his garment? She wasn't able to reach up there and slap him on the back. Jesus, being a good Jew, wore a tallit, which was a prayer shawl. And according to Numbers, they were told to sew a fringe on the bottom of it. And that fringe had 613 strings, which represented the 613 laws that are recorded in the Old Testament. And every one of those was to remind his people about his goodness to them. Now, on each corner was a different cord. It had a blue string through it. And on the corners there were knots. And then after there would be a loop, a knot, some loops, knots. And those knots represented the names of God. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rapha. And I believe that as she was crawling through that crowd, you have to understand, Jesus was a short man. The average height of a Jew in those days was anywhere from 4'6" to 5'6". If you were 5'6", you were a tall man in Jesus' day. Aaron is 5'6". That's a short man. If he's over that, so Jesus was approximately 5 feet tall. So the prayer shawl that an adult male would wear, the fringe or the tzitzit, which was what the fringe was called, would be touching, almost touching the ground. So here she comes, Pastor, and she's crawling. Where'd Paul go? He may have to help me get up. This is a little easier. And I feel like I don't have, this is out of the book of Millard. But I feel like she couldn't reach up. The only thing she could do was touch him where she was. And she was down here. And when she reached out to touch him, I believe God, again in his miraculous power, let her grab a hold to the knot that said Jehovah Rapha, Raphael, however you want to say it, which is, I am the God that healeth thee. And she immediately felt that power run through her life and stood up. Sometimes I can't even get to this. Sometimes the circumstances in my life have put me like this. Sometimes the Lord has put me like this. Sometimes the heartache and the heartbreak has put me down here. And if I tried to reach up, I couldn't. And I have to reach out and just touch him where I am. And I have discovered that wherever I am, he is. And I can feel that miraculous power going through me, just like she felt it go through her. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Even the disciples said, "Come on, man, get a grip. What do you mean, who touched me? You see this crowd? And Jesus said, somebody touched me because I felt virtue. Virtue is a Greek word, areta, and it simply means strength. Jesus said, I felt strength go out of me. And this little lady backed up into the crowd, a little bit fearful, because, you know, if she was to be exposed, everybody knew who she was, because everybody had put a sign on her, don't touch her. She couldn't even go to the well and draw water with the women. How in the world did she know what was going on in the world if she couldn't get together with the gossip group? Today they go to the beauty shops. Then they went to the well. If you want to know what's going on in your community, go to the beauty shop. Today they went to the well. So I'm sure she had to slip back. Because now she's standing up, you see. She hadn't been able to do that in years. She had to walk like that. She wasn't allowed to look you in the eyes. She had to walk like this. And watch what Jesus did. She was a who when she touched him. Who touched me? She was a somebody after she touched him. Somebody touched me. But after the touch and the healing, he said, daughter. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. She went from a who to a somebody to a daughter when she got the touch of Jesus. How do you want to go home today? You want to go home a who? You want to go home a somebody? Or would you prefer to go home a son or a daughter? That's up to you. She'd been trying for 12 years. Hadn't had any help or luck whatsoever. I'm going to give it one more shot. I'm going to die anyway. That was her sentence. Death was her sentence. She actually could have been taken outside the city walls and stoned to death. Said, I'm going to die anyway. Well, what have I got to lose? Well, let me ask you this morning, what have you got to lose if you want to try trusting Jesus one more time? You're going to die in your sickness anyway if you're sick. You're going to die and go to hell anyway if you're not right with God. Why not give it another chance? Somebody wrote this song a long time ago, and I'm done. Touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. Stand with me. There is only one way to touch Him. You must believe when you call on His name. Somebody's going to touch Him this morning. Somebody's desperate. Somebody feels like I just can't keep doing this like this. Somebody's gonna feel some virtue flow through their veins today. Millard, the crowd's too big. I can't get through. It doesn't matter. Just reach out where you are and touch Him. He'll be there. He'll be there. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, I have felt this in my heart for several days, that somebody was going to need a touch, and that You just wanted me to let them know that You're here for that purpose, to touch them.
and that your power and virtue will flow into their lives. If you need that touch today, I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor. If you need that touch today, I want you to just come and stand. We'll let Pastor and his prayer team pray with you this morning. Keep pushing. Keep pressing. Anybody, it's your choice. When you call on His name, sing it one time.
Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters in your life. So reach out and touch.
for those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Oh, they shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk, oh, and not faint. Oh, teach me, Lord. Touch the Lord as He goes by. Oh, you will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. So reach out and touch the Lord as He. Touch the Lord as He goes by. Oh, you will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. So reach out and touch the Lord as He.
Just making the efforts. Touching Jesus, that's all that matters. Touching Jesus, that's all that matters. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We appreciate you, Heavenly Father. We glorify, magnify your name. Thank you, precious Lord. Thank you, precious
Jesus, I gotta get to Jesus. I know that He's the answer to my need. Forgive Him all my problems, only He can solve them. In the broken pieces, I gotta get to Jesus. Gotta get to Jesus. Gotta get to Jesus. I know that He's the answer to my need. Give Him all my problems. Only He can solve them. In the broken pieces, I gotta get to Jesus.
Message, Brother Hewitt. Hey, just want you to know, all you got to do is touch the hem of His garment, and you'll leave here a son and a daughter. Amen. Don't you love Jesus? Father God, I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you, Lord, for your word, this message, for your anointing. Thank you, oh God, that we can touch you, Lord, and that we are your sons and daughters. Father God, I pray that you will bless, touch, heal, lift up, encourage, and strengthen. Lord, we thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. See you tonight. Prayer meeting at 5 o'clock.